This morning, we are continuing this relationship series that we're going through, relating in love, that kind of idea. We've talked a lot about love, and last time, if you were here 2 weeks ago, I talked about marriage, and this week, we're going to talk about, let's see here, marriage. Actually, we will touch on marriage. But it's going to be more than just marriage. I'm also going to talk some about singleness as well. And I want to remind you guys, before I get into the nitty-gritty here, that God is patient with us. God is a good God, and He loves you. He sent His Son for you to live life on this earth, to relate to us, and also to die for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So God sent His Son, Jesus, to die on the cross, and not only that, He also was raised from the grave. He arose from the grave. Praise God, because that means as we have faith and we simply trust in what Jesus has done, He gives it to us. He has this new covenant where we get to participate in His death and life with Him. And this is good news. One thing about Jesus, though, that I want to point out is that Jesus, while He was here on earth, and He walked the earth, and He taught the kingdom of God on the earth, the kingdom of heaven, one thing that, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but He never got married. And I think this is important to remember because so often in our culture and in our, maybe even our Christian culture, you could say, we have a high view of marriage, and we encourage people to get married, especially. I've been married for over 11 years, and it's great, you know, but it's not easy. And so we encourage people to get married, and sometimes we make it sound like when you get married, you know, all your problems will go away, and we know that's not true. So I want to say, if you're single here and you'd like to be married, I think it's okay to want to get married, okay, first of all. But it's also okay to be single. You see, Jesus was completely human and completely God. And He did not need marriage in order to be fully human. He did not need marriage in order to be a complete person. And so it's important to remember that as we look at Scripture and as we look at marriage in some ways. Another person who was single and who wrote a lot of the New Testament was the Apostle Paul. Now, we don't know if he was single his whole life or not. We just don't know. He could have been married when he was younger, and his wife could have died. We just don't know. We're not told. And so we can't make complete assumptions that way. But we do know that while he was writing many of the letters, that he was a single person at that time. Because the letters tell us that he was. He testifies to himself in that manner. And so he was also a single person. As I was looking at Scripture and thinking about marriage, I was like, where's just some simple principles about marriage, maybe, that we could learn from Scripture. And so I was looking to Paul, who was a single guy, right? And it's interesting how he comes at marriage in the book of Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians. It's a very early letter that he wrote. And the section that we're going to be looking at takes place in 1 Corinthians. And it's a tough section for scholars, I guess, or for people like me who pretend they're scholarly. Because Paul talks about how he's giving advice to the church, okay? And yet we know that this is scriptural, this is this is there's truth here. There's truth in what he's saying. So so we're going to look at some of his advice to the Corinthian church. And apparently the Corinthian church had written him a letter. And in it, we can only presume as to what was said, but it was probably something to the effect of, is it okay for people to get married? Like, is that something that's a good Christian thing to do? Or what's your advice? And that kind of thing. And so we have to recognize that the section of scripture we're going to be looking at is where Paul is saying, look, this is my advice to you. And he is also, I want to point out that he's not dealing with a particular sin case in this section. He's not saying that it's a sin to get married, and he's not saying it's a sin not to get married, okay? We have to remember that as well as he wrote in this section. And it's 1 Corinthians 7, if you can turn there if you'd like. Another thing to point out as to, because Paul had this opinion that if you're single, it might be better not to get married, okay? That's, I'm just going to lay that out there. And part of the reason that some people think that he may have said this was because of the urgency in that time. They were told that Jesus was going to be coming back soon, and they really believed that. They believed that he was going to be coming back, like, immediately. And I think it's a good idea for us to think about that. Jesus can return at any time. And so the things that we do and the way we set up our lifestyles, are they conducive to the fact that Jesus can come right now? And are you ready? And what are we doing to be ready in that sense? And so that kind of filtered into his opinion about marriage, is what the thought is said. But, and then we see later in later letters how Paul, and particularly in Ephesians, really does affirm marriage. And he says that marriage is this great mystery, and that it's like the closest image of God's relationship to the church, and how it's a reflection of that image. And so marriage can be really a beautiful example of God's love for the church and the church responding as the beloved to God. So another thing I want to point out, again, as I'm doing my introduction here, Paul, I want to make sure that you understand this. Paul does not say that it is easier to be single, okay? It's his opinion that it's better. It's not necessarily easier, okay? Wanted to make sure that was clear. Okay, so what's this section of scripture that I'm talking about? Well, he's addressing marriage again, and we're only going to cover a few verses. And the reason I'm only covering a few verses is because I wanted to draw out a general principle as to that pertains to people who are married. And really, it's also going to be a general principle that it pertains to people who are single. So really, I ended up doing this sermon on marriage, which we can learn about in our marriages, and if you are going to get married. But it's also important to remember that this also pertains to you as you are single, okay? It just takes on a little bit of a different dynamic when you're married. That's it. Okay, enough with me blabbing about that. Let's go on to the actual passage. Starting in verse 32 of 1 Corinthians 7. It says, I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife. And his interests are divided. And the unmarried or betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But the married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. So we have to acknowledge that what Paul is pointing out here, actually, it's a description, I would say. He's not saying that you have to be anxious about these things. He's simply describing what it looks like. And that's why I wanted to look at it. I was saying, okay, if we're married, are we anxious about these things? And that kind of thing. And so we have to acknowledge that our concerns, if you're married, generally are different a lot of times. What we get anxious about is different than a single person because you are naturally in a different kind of relationship with somebody. So, for instance, my wife and I, when I think about family life, I think about, okay, how can I earn enough money to put food on the table? I mean, that's something that makes me anxious sometimes. If I didn't have my children and I wasn't married, you know, I only have to fend for myself. Very practical example. Believe it or not, I like when my wife's happy, okay? I like that because usually when my wife's happy, you know, house things just kind of are a little better. I feel more secure about myself. Just goes to show how much I put, you know, into my wife, all the pressure that I put on her to make sure she's happy, right? There are lots of things that go into that. And so we have to consider some of those things. There are differences. But when it comes down to it, ultimately, what Paul is saying here, when it comes down to it, when you boil it all down, what is Paul's heart in this passage? I don't think he's actually as concerned about if you're married or not. I mean, he's talking about that in one aspect, but his main point, his main concern is in that very last verse that's up there, verse 35. Why? Because he wants to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. Your undivided devotion to the Lord. Anxiousness, concern, oftentimes can distract us from being devoted to the Lord. We see this, that anxiousness and concern about worldly things isn't just tied to those who are married, okay? And Paul's making a point that there's extra responsibilities with being married, but it's not just limited to that because we know from, I wrote down some passages here, Matthew 13, Mark 4, and Luke 8, there's the parable of the sower that Jesus talks about, and he talks about how there's a sower and he's sowing seed, and people are like that seed, you know, they're growing up, and what happens? The cares of the world come in, and they're symbolized as thorns and thistles that overtake the plant and tear it down. And he says that that is like the cares of the world. Sometimes they can drown you. They can pull you down, and you can become so distracted with everything around you that you're pulled down. And so that's not limited just to couples, right? That's not limited just to people who are married. That's everyone. Everyone has those types of problems, I think, that we have to recognize. But then again, there are certain things that only married people have to deal with, even in today's individualistic society. So Paul desires people to be free from these anxieties, but free to do what? For what reason? He desires these people to be free. He desires these people to be free so that they can have undivided devotion to the Lord. So I wanted to look at devotion. What is this devotion? How do we view devotion? And I wanted just to touch on this kind of as the main topic. What is devotion? So what is devotion? I think the really good image for devotion and a way to define devotion biblically is to look at the story of Mary and Martha in the New Testament. In Luke chapter 10, verse 38, it talks about this, where Jesus is welcomed into this home, and there's two sisters. Sometimes sisters get along, sometimes they fight, right? The one sister is just totally enraptured in who Jesus is. I mean, she is just, and Mary, she's just like, I want to learn from Jesus. And the other one is really busy working. She's like either cleaning up the food or she's getting the food ready. We're not sure. But she's like taking care of things in the house. And finally, she's like, hey, Jesus, help me out here. My sister's just sitting there listening to you, and I'm over here doing all the hard work. Tell her to help me. I mean, we've all been there, right? And Jesus says something. He says, Martha, you're bothered by all these anxious things, all these cares that you have? She's like, but Mary has chosen the better thing. Just relax. That is a picture of devotion. When Mary places herself at the feet of Jesus to be taught by Jesus, it's a picture of devotion. It's a picture of devotion. Are we placing ourselves at the feet of Jesus? Are we intentionally, that's the key, are we intentionally placing ourselves in a position to be taught by Jesus? To be taught by Jesus. Are we listening to Jesus' teaching? And I think this is a good principle for us as married people and as single. But particularly when we're married, you know, we live with our spouse. At least I hope you do. I know some of you may not at the moment. But do we talk and do we listen to each other about what Jesus is teaching us? You know, in our society, we have issues about being taught and listening. Major issues. I don't know if you've noticed that. Yeah, I'll go here. All I have to do is talk about politics, right? And how polarized our country has become. You know, and it bothers me sometimes, I have to admit, as a millennial, okay, that so often people get so heated about things and they don't take time to listen, to actually listen. Because I've found that sometimes you get two people with opposite stances on things and they come together and they're like, actually, they agree on most stuff. Maybe they disagree about how to come at it on one angle or another. But it's like you bring them together and they actually sometimes do agree. And all I have to say is conservative or liberal or Republican or Democrat, and right away everyone's like, whoo. Right? But are conservatives listening to liberals and are liberals listening to conservatives? Doesn't seem that way. We're not willing to be even to think of somebody as maybe possibly teaching us. Or what is God teaching me about that person or their viewpoints? You know, this is a big struggle in our society. And it's kind of come to the point where we as a society have trained our children even to be sheltered from any other viewpoint. You know, and all you have to do is look at social media. That reinforces that, because what happens with social media, I can just block that person if I don't like what they're saying. And we become more and more insulated in our own viewpoints. And we're not even open to listening to other people or being taught by other people. And we become more and more distant from each other. And then what happens? We send our children to college and, they need safe spaces. Well, what do we expect? What do we expect? You know, the snowflakes. You know what I'm talking about. And if it's not that, then it's violent reactions. People getting in fights, literal fist fights, or trying to kill other people over these things. I don't know about you, but I don't want that. That violence. Maybe we need to stop and listen. Maybe we need to learn how to be taught. We don't like that idea. And it filters down. It filters down, not just society. You know, we can look at society and say how terrible that is, but how are you doing in your own household with your wife or your husband? Do you always need a safe space away from your spouse when it comes to differing opinions and differing, learning how to work together? Something we have to keep in mind, I think, as we face life with a spouse, with our spouse in this life, trying to learn, trying to work together towards a common goal, possibly. And as Jesus is in our relationships, if both the husband and the wife have Jesus as the goal, You know, you can work together at that. You can talk to each other so much more freely about what Jesus is teaching you. And if your husband or your wife is not a believer, but you are, you know, find that friend that you can talk to about what Jesus is teaching you. Someone who will listen to you and someone who you can also listen to and be taught by. And that's why we come together a lot of times in community, right? Practically, like this, like a setting like this. Or Sunday school, where we can bounce ideas off of each other and be prayed for. Our devotion to one another, our willingness to be taught to one another, is a picture, really, of the greater truth of our devotion to God, our willingness to be at the feet of Jesus and learning from him. When I was just going into high school, my parents had sent me away for high school, and it was a good time of my life. But my father gave me some really, really freeing advice, and I never forgot it. He told me one time, don't worry about your grades. Don't worry about your grades. Just learn as much as possible. And I knew that if I came home with a report card that, you know, was less than stellar because I wasn't the best at getting the, you know, I wasn't a straight A student by any means, but I knew that it would be okay. And it really freed me in a lot of ways. My grades did improve over time. And I took that to heart, and I never forgot it. And I continue to love to learn, by the way. But my question is, could it be that we are more worried about our grades because when we look at our grades, we can start comparing ourselves to one another, you know, than we are about what Jesus is simply teaching us? We're so focused, when we look at our grade, we start looking at how am I comparing to everyone else, and instead Jesus is like, well, what is that to you about that person? Just focus on me. Learn from me. Some of us are really good at talking. I don't have to say much to that as I'm up here talking. But some of us are really good at talking and filling up silence with noise, and that's all it is sometimes, noise. And maybe we just need to shut up and listen sometimes, or most of the time. In Luke chapter 18, verse 18, there's this young man who comes up to Jesus and he asks him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. Friends, you have a good teacher. And this is good news. Jesus is patient. Jesus is forgiving. Jesus listens to you. Jesus is the best teacher. And Jesus is always teaching. We just have to stop sometimes, think about it, and ask, what is Jesus teaching me? What is Jesus teaching us in our marriage? So whether you're single or you're married, who or what are you devoted to? In what ways are you intentionally placing yourself at the feet of Jesus? Whether you're an individual or as a couple, to be taught by Jesus in the experiences of our lives. Now, this is a struggle. So we talk about devotional time, right? In the mornings, and sometimes it can be very hard discipline to do. I'm not perfect at my devotional life. You might say, oh no, he can't be a pastor then. Sorry. It can be a difficult thing to do, but it can be done in a lot of ways. Don't trap yourself in a box to say you have to do devotions a certain way. Special shout out to young moms, because my wife learned this. It's like, you know, sometimes it's really hard to just find time, even just to read for a few minutes, because, and, you know, by yourself. Like, the kids are, like, trying to get to you underneath the bathroom door, and you locked yourself in there. Yeah, it can be really tough. And I don't totally understand that, because I'm not the mom, okay? I get it. But don't be so hard on yourself. It can be as simple as maybe breaking out into, this is the day that the Lord has made. Reminding yourself, where is your focus? Breaking out in a simple tune, a simple song to remind yourself of the goodness of God and who you're devoted to. It can be, maybe you're single. Maybe you're, you're driving down the road, and you have a tough time getting up early, so you didn't do your devotions, and you simply turn on the radio and you say, you know what, I'm going to turn on the Christian radio station this time just to listen for a while. And reminding yourself that you have a good teacher, Jesus. Jesus. Don't forget it. It can be coming to church. This is an act of devotion, an act where we are intentionally placing ourselves at the feet of Jesus together as a community. We're pursuing being taught by each other. You know, you're there and I'm up here, and if you're listening, you know, maybe somehow God is using me to help you. I don't know. Even more importantly, after the service, when you're with each other, talking to each other, or before the service, when you're in your class or with whoever, and you're talking about, hey, how's it going? What's Jesus teaching you this week? Or in a home group, or just texting that friend, encouraging them. All of these things are acts of devotion, intentionally placing ourselves at the feet of Jesus, asking, what am I being taught right now? And who is teaching me? What am I listening to? So again, like I said, it's kind of marriage, but and it does apply to marriage. What is your spouse teaching you? Or how is Jesus teaching you through your spouse? And if you're single, how is Jesus teaching you through your everyday experiences of life and how you connect maybe here at church or texting or hanging out with a friend somewhere? Just ask yourself that question. How am I being devoted to Jesus in our relationships, in our homes, with our children, and with our spouse? I'm going to go back to the beginning. What I said at the beginning was, we have a good God. Don't forget it.